Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
And now, the list of things that you can buy at the Chicago Reader store at chicagoreader.com. Things to wear like Chicago Reader hats, t-shirts, bandanas, and face masks. Things for your daily life like the Chicago Reader camping mug, Chicago Reader tote bags, and a Chicago Reader reporter's notebook. Things for you to read like our Reader recipes, the Chicago Reader 420 Companion, our Chicago Reader Best Of book series from journalists Maya Duke-Masaba, Mike Sula, Ben Jarofsky, and Lior Galil, the Chicago Reader coloring book, and the Chicago Reader Stay Home puzzle. Find the Chicago Reader store at chicagoreader.com and show your support for the nation's first free weekly newspaper since 1971.
Well, it's time for the Ben Jarofsky Show. As I speak, it's Friday, April 23rd. How did it get to be April 23rd? Good God. 2021, the headline in my bright one, my beloved bright one, Chicago Sun-Times, home delivered every day. Fox says she didn't know but should have what prosecutors would say in court about police shooting of Adam Toledo. Man, Fran Spielman, Chicago Sun-Times, like a pit bull on Kim Fox. Sorry, my pit bull imitation was no good. Anyway, as we do with all distinguished guests on the Ben Jarofsky Show, on bonus time, I asked my distinguished guest to introduce herself. So this time, she's going to have to introduce herself. Take it away, distinguished guest.
Hi, I'm Ramana Hussein. I'm an assistant metro editor at the Chicago Sun-Times.
And she's a columnist with a lot of opinions, as everybody knows, because she's been coming on this show and talking with me pretty much every Friday since I had the show. So we're switching things up a little bit. We're dropping Ramana on Saturdays instead of Fridays. A lot of viewers are like, what's going on? We love Ramana. Okay, just wait an extra day and you'll get to hear her, okay? Stop bugging me, all right? Every now and then you got to paint the walls and change things a little bit. Right, Ramana?
Yep, I agree.
Okay. All right, let's start off. So much to talk about. I had a whole list of things to talk about. Why don't we start off with my assault on baby boomers? And feel free to jump in and pound away at me, Ramana. Baby boomers have just been bashing me, okay? So I've become a punching bag for many baby boomers. And folks, if you haven't seen this, I did a story for the Reader's newsletter. It was a little column, actually, for the newsletter. I do it once a week, where I just was opining. I think Ramana and I may have talked about this already, but I was just opining about how in the reaction, response, in the wake of Adam Toledo's shooting, so many baby boomers I know will tell me, you know, Benny's no angel. I must have heard that, Ramana, a million times. And why didn't his mother know that he was out running around the streets at night at 3 a.m? I must have heard that a million times. And I just couldn't take it, Ramana Hussein. I was like, you know, baby boomers, you are so full of it. When I was in high school with you, all you did was brag about sneaking out of the house, fooling your parents, going driving with your friends, speeding, drinking, smoking reefer, having sex, hanging out at the lake all night, then coming home and going, hi, Mom, like you're Eddie Haskell and fooling her. Now you act surprised. Some kid fooled his mother. I don't know. Baby boomers are a bunch of hypocrites, Ramana Hussein. Your thoughts, have I been too hard on baby boomers? Go ahead.
No, I thought you fit. I thought you summed it up pretty perfectly. My life was pretty much like yours, Ben. I don't watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show with my parents, but my parents did watch me. I mean, if I snuck out of the house, my mom would have busted me for sure. Because, you know, my mom always thought we would be up to no good and we usually listen to them. So my mom would have totally caught us. But yeah, I do find that it's really interesting because, you know, when I go back to like, you know, high school reunions or I'm hanging out with people from my high school, all the people that did stuff. And, you know, there was this one thing where they would all hang out at the forest and, you know, go drinking and do all party and like sneak out of the house. They're the ones who are the most conservative and like have these views about like how people shouldn't be doing this or people shouldn't be doing that. Meanwhile, I'm the one that, you know, I listen to my parents. My parents are immigrant parents and kind of kept an eye on me all the time. That's just the kind of parents they were. And I kind of never really snuck out of the house. I always told my parents where I was going and never really lied to them too much, maybe once or twice. And I got busted the one time I tried to fool my parents. I basically tried to go to a home opener, Cubs home opener, and with my cousin, and I did school. I got my friend to call me out, and she told me she could do a really good Indian accent, and I got busted because my friend sounded like a 15-year-old teenager calling me out. She didn't sound like my mom, and I got in trouble. My parents found out. They were so disappointed in me, and I'm just saying that one time I tried to, like, ditch school and do something with my parents' back, I got busted, and I got, like, 15 hours of detention, and my dad was really disappointed in me. Nobody in my family, I think I was... My older sister never got detention, so I was the first one in the family to get a slap with a 15-hour detention. So, yeah, it is funny how all these people who did all this stuff when they were younger are suddenly giving lectures about kids sneaking out in the night. And honestly, like, I never would have snuck out of the house at 13 years old, but a lot of people do, especially boys. And, you know, parents don't know everything that their kids are doing. A lot of times I also see this with the parents, the ones who are talking about their kids and what angels their kids are. They're the ones whose kids are doing stuff behind their back. So I've seen that on that side too, because my mom would always be telling all her friends how bad we were and how we weren't good kids. And then all the parents would be telling, you know, her friends would be telling my mom how good her kids were. And we're like, wait, no, they're not. We're like, we know they do this and that. So yeah, it's like, you don't know what your kids are doing all the time. And, you know, even my mom, I'm sure I could have fooled her if I wanted to. I was just a really good kid, I guess. But yeah, you don't know. And, you know, I know a lot of, you know, boys tell me that that's really common at that age. And, you know, especially for our generation, I was actually in Texas 2 weeks ago and I wasn't on your show. And a family friend of ours, he has a kid who's a teenager. And he was just talking about how he used to sneak out at night. And he's like, I can't believe I did that. I was like 13, 14 years old and we'd take the car. He's talking about what he did with his older brother. He's like, maybe we're like, we weren't even driving age and we'd take the car and we'd go out. And he's like, I was expecting my son to do that, but my son never did that. And we were just talking about how, like, especially in the days of the boomers, like, there was no way, you don't hang out on the internet. You know, so there's more chances of people going out and sneaking out. So yeah, for boomers to be saying that, they're just a hypocritical bunch. The boomers who aren't saying that kind of stuff.
No, boomers as a bunch. Wait, this is so unfair. Let me back up. I shouldn't paint all boomers.
No, it's a lot of people. It's not brush. Just boomers. A lot of people look back and start lecturing other people.
But you know the reason why I'm picking on the boomers? Because
boomer.
I am a boomer.
Yeah.
And I have firsthand knowledge. That Monday morning, folks, you come back to school on Monday morning. It's been a weekend. And everybody or most people are bragging about what they did that weekend. And, you know, I had to decide. Ramona, I had to decide, will I lie and brag with him? Yeah, I was out running around, man. I was with this chick from Skokie, man. I don't know. I picked her up at a McDonald's. Should I come up with something like that? Or should I just tell the truth? Well, my mom and I watched the Bob Newhart show. I love the Bob Newhart show, by the way. I didn't mention that in the column. I was like, on a mission. I'm like, oh my God, how can I forget Bob Newhart? He was hilarious. So I just kind of didn't say anything. And then when I hear them say, I also feel having raised kids, my daughters are grown. I've gone through, you know, let's just put it this way, some hairy moments as a father. And they're great kids. I love my kids. I love their friends dearly, you know, but they went through some wild times too. And I just think it's just so a lack of compassion, Ramona, on the part of people. They don't want to extend any kind of sympathy or empathy toward the Toledo family. They just want to blame the Toledo family, you know, and then it gets political, which is really bizarre. Let me get your thoughts on this, because I got these people weighing in, bashing me, boomers, bashing me, saying he had a gun. That's the difference. He had a gun. And so they're turning it into a gun control issue, which is so weird because you're a MAGA person. You're totally for Second Amendment right now. All of a sudden, you're weighing in on gun rights? I mean, I don't know. The hypocrisy, Romana. It's just so hypocritical.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Like I said, when I go back to college events, I mean, high school events, it's just funny how the people who are always partying and getting away with stuff, all of a sudden have become pretty conservative. I went to a get together, during the pandemic. It was outdoors. And of course, the people that were partiers didn't want to wear their masks. And they were telling me how they thought masks were a joke, et cetera, et cetera. So it's pretty funny. I thought your column was very spot on. And I know you're targeting boomers because you're a boomer, but that's with a lot of people. I've seen that with a lot of people. And my mom, you know, it's really funny because whenever my mom saw someone being, my mom's pretty strict, but whenever she saw someone being overly strict with their kids, she's just like, I doubt it. When you were a teenager, you were just like your kids. And, you know, so she thinks some parents go overboard too, because they forget who they were when they were teenagers. And my mom always says, like, teenagers, you know, she's always like, teenagers are the same all around the world. Like, you know, it's that age, you know, people do things, they sneak out, they do things here and there. You definitely don't want to get hurt. But of course, she kept an eye on us, like she was eagle eyed on us. But yeah, I think a lot of people forget who they were when they were like 13, 14, 15 years old and suddenly become very luxury. And, you know, yeah, of course, as you get older, you have like your perspective changes. But still, I think the sympathy part, it's like you've got to have sympathy for a lot of, it's just a sad case. The Adam Toledo case is very sad. Of course, in an ideal world, a 13-year-old wouldn't be holding a gun, wouldn't be out in the middle of the night with a 21-year-old holding a gun. But, you know, everybody's circumstances are different. You know, where I grew up, you know, there was more opportunities. You're like, you know, the average boy wasn't going to be out there with a gun. And you have to look at the circumstances. And, you know, his mother's, I mean, from what I've seen, his family seems like, you know, a very caring family. They seem very conscientious. So it's all a very sad case. You know, just as a journalist, I did watch the videos and it was just heartbreaking watching the video.
All right, well, let's move on to the political ramifications of the case and away from the gossipy end of it. Political ramifications are, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox is going to have to make a very difficult decision. Does she prosecute the police officer who fired the gun and killed Adam Toledo? And I think I told you before we came on the show, Romano, I've been asking each guest that comes on, local guests anyway, their thoughts on this. Two contrasting views this week and last week. Troy LaRavier, the head of Chicago Principals Association, and Susana Mendoza, who's controller, state controller. Susana Mendoza, I don't know if you know this, was a representative in that the area where the shooting took place. Oh. So she was very familiar. She said she actually lived two blocks away from where the shooting took place. Yeah, she now lives on the north side. And she was saying, from the perspective of somebody in the neighborhood, that you have to take very seriously a shooting. That's what began the whole process. The 21-year-old that Adam Toledo, Ramon, I think his last name is, was running with, fired a gun. That's what brought the police to them in the first place and initiated the chase, et cetera, and so forth. And she said that her heart is with the people who are law-abiding citizens in an area where there is so much crime and gun violence, and she would not prosecute the police officer because the police officer was the murder was set into action by the shooting of the gun by Ramon, and it was a split second decision. And Troy LaRavier's position was that a police officer should not say he puts his life on the line unless he puts his life on the line. And there was that moment where Adam Toledo turned around with his hands in the air, and that was enough time for a police officer, a trained police officer, to see that he had no gun, and so he shouldn't have shot it. And that impulse that the officer displayed, where he just fired the gun, almost just like a sheer reaction, is something that like an untrained civilian would do. And so as a result, he should be prosecuted. Your thoughts on all this?
I have to admit, I'm not like a legal expert, but for me, it's a very complicated question. I don't know one way or the other what should happen. I do think a lot of people feel like enough is enough. and that he should be charged with at least something. You know, I don't know what I would do in that split second. I'm not a police officer. And it probably is a very scary situation. Nobody's going to say that. But the kid did turn around and he put his hands in the air. That was so quick in what happened. I think a lot of people probably feel that he should at least be charged with manslaughter. But do I think he's going to be charged, the police officer? No, I don't. I don't think he will. Just because it was so quick. The child did have a gun. There's a question whether he could see it from the vantage point of where he was standing. But as Troy said, why did he panic? And, you know, I know a lot of my friends have been pointing out too, you know, a lot of people on social media are showing, you know, incidents where white men, white young men are holding guns and nothing happens to them. Kyle Rittenhouse was openly carrying a firearm at the protest in Wisconsin and nobody did anything and he ended up killing people. So I think those are good questions to raise. Do I think he should be charged? I try to look, I'm just saying as someone who's a journalist, I try to look at each specific police related shooting differently, and not to say that there isn't a disproportionate number of black and brown males, especially being shot, or black and brown, you know, females too, as we seen this week being shot. So something has to change. That's what I can say definitively. They need to change the way police are trained. And I know some people think that police officers shouldn't even have guns. I don't know. That's a little complicated for me as well. But I just think something needs to change. And I think a lot of people know. I kind of feel like people know that the officer who was involved with Adam Toledo's shooting isn't going to be charged. That's what I feel. But I don't know. Maybe he will get charged with manslaughter.
Well, I began the segment making note of the headline in today's Bright One, today's Sun Times, over a Fran Spielman article. And Fran Spielman goes at Kim Fox pretty hard on the first comments regarding the first comments of the prosecutor who worked for Kim Fox, who falsely stated in court that Toledo had a gun in his hand when he turned and faced the officer. So the officer was looking at a kid with a gun in his hand, when in fact, as we've all seen, he had tossed the gun away and then turned around with his hands in the air. And there's that last image of him with his hands in the air, no gun in his hand. And so that prosecutor has been suspended, I think, is...
He's been placed on leave. I've actually edited some of those stories. I do think there are questions out there as to, you know, how the proffer... That proffer is what's been read in court. And so this proffer was read in the bond court hearing of the 21-year-old that was with Adam Toledo. And so when this... I'm forgetting the date that it was, but basically it took 5 days for the prosecutors to say, for the Cook County State's Attorney's Office to say anything. So for 5 days, you know, so this guy comes to bond court and this prosecutor mentions that Adam Toledo did have a gun before he was shot. And so the press was reporting that for 5 days and nobody said anything. And then maybe hours before the video was released, the Cook County State's Attorney's Office said that that prosecutor was not, quote unquote, fully informed, unquote. And so that is a little, you would think that if the state's attorney's office knew at some point, they should have said something. Why did they wait so long and let the press keep writing this? And, you know, a lot of people are going to say, why did the press listen to the police or the prosecutors? But the thing is, this is the information that we're given and we attribute it to these individuals. So for 5 days, this was happening. And so, you know, I know our reporter asked questions to the state's attorney's office, like what videos were available to this prosecutor? Did he have access to all those videos? And so, you know, the state's attorney's office is kind of going hemming and hawing and going back and forth. And they said that, well, nothing that he said was wrong, but his statement was misconstrued. And then they ended up, this is Friday, I edited the story. This is last week, Friday. I edited the story. And then like late Friday night, I saw on my Twitter feed that the prosecutor was placed on a leave of absence. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I just think that the state's attorney's office, if they had known, or they must have known about what was on the video, because I think Adam Toledo's family saw it, or the city had seen it. And I don't know what transpired, but they basically let 5 days transpire before the proffer was read and before they said that there was, you know, the prosecutor didn't have all the facts or wasn't fully informed.
Yeah, this is a significant botch up, because it exposes so much about how here I'm going to isolate it to Chicago, how we treat police shootings in Chicago, and it's like this evolution, and it just goes to show you the trepidation that we have as a society here in Chicago to judge police too harshly. For years and years and years, police have been given a pass on so many issues. Ramon, I've seen this since I moved to Chicago in the 80s. There was police torture going on. And that they elected as mayor, Richard Daley, who was the state's attorney looking the other way in the face of it. And it was just like Daley didn't want to confront the police. He stayed away from the police on that. And it's this culture and we have in Chicago. So, you know, here we have a moment where an instance where there is a footage, and I just do not understand why they don't release the footage and just holding it back.
Agreed.
And so what it just builds up like expectations on both sides. You get these heated debates. People are talking about something they don't even know what they're talking about because they haven't seen the tape. So you say, well, you want to keep people calm and cool and on top of things. You just gin up more anxiety on both sides, and then the prosecutor, I don't know what he's thinking, because either he didn't see the tape, which maybe he didn't see the tape, or what was he thinking? Like, if he did see the tape, what is he thinking? It's going to be another Anita Alvarez thing with Laquan McDonald where they don't show the tape, you know what I mean? So he can get away with it. Sooner or later, we're going to see the tape. So I don't get this from start to finish. You know, if we're supposed to suddenly have a new attitude, as you're saying, about police shootings, I believe at the very least, you should show the public the tape right off the top. As opposed to letting this drag out. Go ahead.
I agree. I think the longer you wait, the more distrust it creates. I mean, I was seeing stuff on Twitter, you know, before the video was released, you know, people are saying all kinds of things and nobody's seen the videotape. Like my policy is I'm not going to say anything until I see the tape and what's on there. But just given the history of police and the misinformation, like you look at the Laquan McDonald situation, when that story came out, it was just a brief, right? We took what the police said in the media, and it was a paragraph at the most, you know, saying that, you know, the shooting was justified and this guy, you know, had a weapon. And then you look at the video. So, and then it's completely different. And I think it's like that kind of mistrust, it kind of snowballs, and it's kind of at that point where it's like a huge snowball, and a lot of people don't trust the police. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they feel like, okay, let's see what the video shows. And then, you know, we were told that Adam Toledo had a gun in his hand, and he did have a gun in his hand, but he did not have a gun in his hand when he was shot. And so for 5 days, like I said, we, you know, the media, including the Sun-Times, had stories about how the child had a gun. We didn't have exactly, you know, whether he was pointing it at anybody, but we had that he had a gun. And so that does change the narrative. And then you watch the video, and the video had like different angles, and you see the kid throw the gun, and he had it in his right hand, and he threw the gun by a fence that he was standing at. But in that like less than of a second time, he turns around and had his hands up.
Yeah.
And that's the image that, you know, is kind of like burning in all of our minds when you see, and then it's just a harrowing tape. You know, you see, I don't know if you saw the parts where the officers are trying to give him CPR and,
oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you just look at his face, and he is a baby, you know, he is a baby. He's 13 years old. So
no, on that level alone, it's far different than Laquan McDonald, where Laquan McDonald was just gunned down. The Laquan McDonald thing, the more I think about it, the more unbelievable it is. The police, well, let's not revisit Laquan, but the point is he was gunned down unceremoniously with 16 shots by this lunatic who hopped out of a car, wasn't even on the scene, just took the law in his own hands. Then they just left the body there for a while in the that takes care of that. And in the case of Adam Toledo, you could see there's remorse on the part of the cop. You know, he starts giving him first aid. And so I think the enormity of what he had done was starting to hit him. So it's a really complicated, difficult. Just imagine, before we move on, Ramona, had it been reversed. Follow me on this, just popped in my head. So instead of the prosecutor saying the videotape shows that he had a gun in his hand, and then it turns out he doesn't. Imagine if he said the videotape shows he had no gun in his hand. And in fact, when the videotape came out, he had a gun. Can you imagine MAGA, what they would be doing right now? Fox would be going around, showing the video over and over. They would be calling Kim Fox. They'd say Kim Fox is one of this new breed of George Soros-sponsored prosecutors who are weak on crime. I mean, just imagine, Ramona, what it would be like if the roles were reversed in this case.
Yeah. I can imagine. Then it would be totally different on the other end, right? So,
yeah, and so Kim Fox would be totally vilified by MAGA Nation, and since it doesn't fit their needs, they're kind of quiet about this. All right, let's move on from this story, and since we're talking about unsubstantiated rumors that are fed by Twitter and gossip, let's make it a little lighter. Over the weekend, last weekend, Mayor Lori Lightfoot was the subject of all kinds of gossip and people were saying, I was getting the calls just like you were, Ramona, Saturday night. I'm trying to watch Concrete Cowboy. I get those calls from everybody, texts, Ben, Lori Lightfoot's going to step down tomorrow. She's going to step down. I was like, I didn't believe it for one second, Ramona Hussein.
Yeah, it was Saturday night. We were at my mom's house. Ramadan started, so it was the first weekend that we were fasting, and it was also my husband's birthday. So my mom had us all over, and I'm sitting there, and then I get a text from a millennial friend of mine, and he's like, Lori Lightfoot's resigning? And I'm like, what? And I hadn't gotten any alerts from Sun Times or anybody, and I'm like, and I basically just kind of brushed it off and said, no, like, why would she be stepping down? I didn't even see anything. I didn't see any news stories, so I didn't think anything of it. I said, I don't think so. Where did you hear that? And then it just kind of, the conversation kind of ended, and then we get home. It was late night. It was probably 1 a.m. And I just like hopped onto Twitter for like a second. And then I saw Lori Lightfoot trending. And then I started thinking about what my family friend had just texted me. And then so I went down a rabbit hole within like 10 minutes. And it was all these like tweets about Lori Lightfoot having some sort of threesome at an Elmhurst hotel, using taxpayers' dollars to rent a hotel and have a threesome. And then her wife finds out about it and then beats her up. And then her daughter ends up calling 911. And it was like, everybody was like soaking this rumor up. It was just insane. And then, you know, I'm like, I didn't see any news stories about this from any like Chicago media outlets. So I started Googling like, you know, Lori Lightfoot, you know, resigning affair, and then nothing comes up. And I'm just like, it just shows you how social media, people can just take a rumor and then, you know, go with it. There was a lot of people who were like blue check marks. Blue check marks are official people, like, you know, like media people. I didn't see anybody in Chicago, any Chicago media people going with this rumor. But there was people who have like millions of followers, and they started writing this stuff. So this kind of snowballed into something crazy. And then it was so, and then I asked Mick if he saw it, and he didn't go on Twitter that day. He's like, I hadn't heard about it. And then, of course, the next day, Lori Lightfoot has a Twitter thread about the rumors, and she said, I can't believe this, you know, she didn't say I can't believe this happened, but she said that they're homophobic and sexist, and so
did
then
you think they were read.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said it was homophobic.
No, I know she said that. Yeah. and my good friend Kelly Casey Cassidy, who may be your state rep. Yeah, I think Kelly Cassidy is your state rep,
or was
Kelly Cassidy, a big supporter of Lori Lightfoot, texted out something along the line that they were misogynist, homophobic,
homophobic,
and racist.
Yeah.
So did you see it that way?
Some people, a lot of people who were on the left were basically saying that don't try to use those like excuses for the rumor. I mean, I could see it as that. You know, I personally like it. Does I think it's okay to go after Lori Lightfoot for her politics. That's fine. And for her, you know, hemming and hawing on the release of the video and just, you know, her descriptions of things and just her, you know, the promises that she made that she hasn't followed through with, you know, cutting people's mics off at a city council hearing. I think that's all fair game. But I don't know. I just don't think it's, even if you're not a journalist, I'm not even speaking from a journalist, but just from as a regular layperson, I don't think it's really healthy or really, I don't know. I don't think it's really helpful to come out with a rumor about someone that has no truth to it, about, you know, someone that's in the middle of a really important, heated discussion. And, you know, a lot of these individuals, you know, they're talking about how they really care about Adam Toledo, and I'm sure they do. But it's like, you're basically taking this and like making a total farce out of it. And it's not a farce. It's a very sad situation. And I didn't think it was funny. That's just from my point of view.
You didn't think it was the
Twitter. I didn't think the
gossip about Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah, I don't think the gossip and spreading rumors about her was particularly, you know, funny. A lot of people were like, "Oh, everybody's getting so sensitive. Like, you know, why are these journalists getting so sensitive? And you know, you don't report the news accurately." Kind of, you know, that's kind of the tone that I saw. So, like, you shouldn't be too upset when people are spreading rumors. And I just don't. Whether it's a left or right, I just don't think making up lies, whether it's the QAnon people or people on the left, I just don't think making up lies is very helpful.
Well, let me say this about my beloved left, which I love dearly. You guys lost your freaking minds last weekend, okay? And furthermore, you were interrupting my watching of Concrete Cowboy. I'll just throw that out. I was the ultimate victim, not Lori Lightfoot. I will draw a distinction between the left and the right and see if you agree with it, Ramon. Yes, the left was absolutely wrong last weekend when they indulged their fantasies that Lori Lightfoot, who they disliked, was just going to step down so they wouldn't have to go through the trouble of defeating her at the polls. Okay, so yes, they indulged their fantasies and they just went with some cockamamie rumor that was spread by the police or started by the police, apparently. So they pick and choose when they're going to believe the police. So yeah, they lost their mind. But to distinguish them from QAnon, in fairness, to quote your husband, once they were called out and they realized that they'd been fooled and taken in, they didn't, as a group, continue to insist that their made-up story was true. Trump is still going around saying the election was stolen from him.
That is true. But I agree. I'm just saying that I personally just don't think it's helpful. Or maybe don't get me wrong. I kind of laughed at some of that, some of the tweets, because people are like, "You're telling me Lori has two ticks, but still doesn't have a tailor." Like, you know, there's kind of jokes like that about her clothes. And like, you know, I think Lori Lightfoot had a hat that, you know, and then somebody goes, "This is like somebody drawing," you know, they compared her to Al Capone. And I'm not going to say I didn't chuckle at some of this. Some of the tweets, but I just don't know if making up lies about someone is fair. I think you can go after Lori Lightfoot's politics and the way she's been conducting herself. That's fine. That's fair game. I just don't think going.
Oh, it's totally not fair. But
yeah,
let me just throw this. Okay, it's fine. Totally not fair, but it's human nature. Good God.
Of course, but we know when I gossip, it's actually based in fact. Like, it's like a real, I don't like make up gossip. Like, if I hear like somebody tells me something about somebody and I don't have any confirmation of it, first of all, I try to keep my gossip. I do talk a lot, and I'm not saying I don't gossip, but my gossip stays within a certain group and it's usually legit. I don't make stuff up about somebody having a threesome and then their wife beating them up and then
yeah, no, it's, 911. It got into weird. And by the way, I'll just take this moment. All you Twitter users out there, mm-hmm. You love that little Twitter thing so much. Mm-hmm. A lot of good it did you. You look like a bunch of fools. By the way, and I'm going to show, oh my God, I might as well just reveal my utter ignorance and expose myself to even more ridicule than I already get. What's a blue check mark?
A blue check mark is someone that's like, it's just like, it proves that that is that person. Like they're like that important. Like I have a blue check mark, but the only reason I do is because I'm it means you're verified. Like this is
really So in other words, it's not someone that's saying they're Romano's saying, yeah, it's kind of like editor columnist.
Yeah. Guy. And it's mostly for, I think, yeah. Cause you know why? Because there's a lot of celebrity accounts, like, you know, let's say Brad Pitt has one, but if Brad Pitt was on Twitter, which I don't think he is, it would be Brad Pitt. And if it really was him, he'd have a blue check mark. The only reason I do is because the Sun-Times, like they had this, we had one of our social media reps or somebody that works in our office got us all blue check marks. So you should have a blue check mark, Ben, I think.
That would mean I was using Twitter.
Yeah,
Which, you are on Twitter. I am on Twitter. Allison True.
Yeah.
Allison True. You know, I love you, Allison. My old editor at The Reader, who is now the producer of this John Wayne Gacy documentary, insisted that I go on Twitter. Insisted. Allison made me do it, Romana. I didn't want to do it. I don't want to. Ben, go on there. So I went on. And so, yeah, I have a Twitter account. But I have the worst Twitter handle. It's not even my real name. Somebody could, I shouldn't even give this idea out. They could just say, hey, I'm Ben Jarofsky. You know what I mean? All right, let's move on from Lori and gossip. Gossip will always exist, folks, one way or another, like it or not, I suppose. But you're right; that one was just out of left field. That was in the realm of Martians are landing, and the left fell for it. You know, I love you, left. Come on, I love you. Not your finest moment, though. All right, let's move on to breaking news. If Dennis were here. Breaking news, out of California, Caitlyn Jenner has announced that she's running for governor of California in the special election that will happen, the recall election, the bizarre. We're going to have guests coming on next week to explain how it works, but essentially they're trying to recall the governor, Gavin Newsom. And so the way it works is that it's a two-part election. You get to vote yes or no. Do you want to recall the governor? And then you get to vote for the person that you would like to replace the governor with. And if there's not, if more than 50% of the people vote for the governor, it's moot. But if less than 50% people vote for the governor, then the person who has the most votes is the new governor. And that's how they do things in the state of California. And they actually recalled a governor, Gray Davis, back in the day, I want to say about 2003 or so. And I think there's like 40 people ran for governor back then, Romana, and Arnold Schwarzenegger won. Caitlyn Jenner, help us out with Caitlyn Jenner. Why in the world would anybody vote for Caitlyn Jenner for governor? Point.
It's really funny because Caitlyn Jenner, the newer generation had no idea, you know, this is, I guess they would call it the dead name. That's what they call it when for transgender individuals. So when he was Bruce Jenner, she kind of had a resurgence on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Now, I admit I watched that show. I'm a fan. And my younger sister, who was born in 1980, had no idea who Bruce Jenner was. So for her, for people who started watching that show, the younger generation, nobody had any idea who that was. And I remember Bruce Jenner being on the Wheaties box. And when I saw the show, he was the only one I knew. When the Kardashians first came on air, like maybe 14, 15 years ago, I was like, oh, Bruce Jenner. And my younger sister was like, who's that? And so I explained it to her. So, you know, I have been following Caitlyn Jenner for a while. It's really funny because Tina Smondelis, who used to work at the Sun-Times, and Stefano Esposito and I, we have a text chat group. And Tina and I start talking about the Kardashians sometimes, and Stefano gets really annoyed with us. Anyway, he's the one today in the morning when I wake up, the first text message I see is from Stefano telling us that Caitlyn Jenner is running for governor. So he gave us some Keeping Up with the Kardashians gossip. So I don't know. It's interesting. You know, Caitlyn Jenner voted for Donald Trump. I don't know if she voted for him twice, but she's a little interesting. I don't know who would vote for her because she really doesn't have, I guess it doesn't matter at this point. You don't really have to have a political background to run for office these days. But she's never really held an office or ran in political circles. When I watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians, she did like to golf, and she liked flying airplanes, like those remote airplanes. That's what she was into. And she gave a lot of speeches. I know she is politically, she did talk about her politics once in a while. She, you know, she said that she was voting for Donald Trump, and but that's about it. I don't know who would vote for her, but I would think that it would add to, you know, people are going to be talking about her. She's kind of been out of the news because she had a kind of fallout with the Kardashians. So she hasn't, she had her own show. I'm sure you know this, Ben, but it didn't do very well, you know, because she tries to kind of be a Kardashian with the, with the glam and, you know, the fashion and stuff. But so, and then, you know, she gave an interview where she kind of blasted her ex-wife, Kris Jenner. And then, so the daughters and the family kind of, her two daughters are on the Kardashians. But the Kardashian sisters, the Jenners are okay with them, but I think the Kardashian sisters. So I'd be interested to see what happened because the Kardashians are ending their run on the show. I wonder if they're going to weigh in on the elections. I think people are going to be watching that.
I hope they don't endorse Caitlyn Jenner. I have issues, which I'll just,
everybody in that family's running. It was Kanye, and now it's Caitlyn.
Yeah, Kanye was running for president.
Ex-husband.
They got that urge. They all want to run for office, but Kanye didn't really work that hard at it. In the end, it was MAGA was circulating his petitions in the hope that they could get Democratic voters to vote for Kanye. Like some guy's going to throw out his vote for Kanye West. Didn't really work, MAGA. I'm going to share a prejudice I have and a bias I have, Ramona, and feel free to chide me and rip me and tell me I'm prejudiced. I do not understand how trans people can be MAGA people. I don't understand how Indian Americans can be MAGA people. I don't understand how Black Americans can be MAGA people. I'm really confused about Jewish people who are MAGA people. MAGA represents to me such intolerance and hate. So what are you going to do, pick and choose? Well, I feel I'm rich. Caitlyn Jenner's rich. So I feel cool. I like their tax policies. So I'm going to ignore the fact that what? They support white nationalists. You know what I mean? If you're in a group that's in like picked on and a minority, in quotes, minority, you know what I'm saying? Ramona, I don't get it. I don't understand it. You and I have talked about it in terms of Indian Americans who love MAGA and work for Trump. I just don't get it. Go ahead.
Those are BJP people when it comes to Indians. I do get confused in Muslims support Trump. That's confusing to me. The Indians are the Indian people who vote for MAGA are the same people who vote for the, you know, who are supportive of the government in India, which is very right wing too. So that's the Indian connection. But yeah, I don't get the Indians either. I don't know why you would want to vote for Trump. But yeah, the Muslims perplex me. The Jewish people voting for Trump perplex me, as do the Latino and the African American. Any people of color, really. It does perplex me to a certain extent. There's definitely some groups where I'm like, okay, I know why. I can tell. Like whenever, like I know I'm not trying to make stereotypes, but a lot of Eastern European immigrants are very pro Trump. This is anecdotally, but there's a lot of Assyrian Americans in the northern suburbs. They all tend to be Trump supporters. And I think that's mostly because they've been discriminated against in their countries. So it's like they're into that anti-Muslim thing. The people that the guy who cuts my hair is, I don't know, I think he's a Trump supporter. He was telling me how he didn't want to get vaccinated. And then my mom's like, you need to find a new hairdresser. So I'm probably have to go to your wife next time.
Go to my wife. She's vaccinated.
Yeah. So my mom's like, why are you going to someone who doesn't want to get vaccinated? And I'm like, yeah, I know. He just cut my hair really good because Assyrian people have hair like Indian people. They have dark hair and it's really thick. So they know how to cut our hair and do our eyebrows too.
I'm not bragging, but my wife can cut the hair too. I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just saying.
Sure she can. I actually am thinking about going to her next time I get a haircut.
That would be really cool.
So I'm going on stereotypes here, but I do certain communities and I'm like, okay, the logic, I guess I'm understanding the Eastern Europeans, they tend to be lumped in with the white Americans and you know, they have that white privilege. But yeah, I don't get the people of color voting for Donald Trump.
Yeah. All right. Before we go to recommendation, I'm going to ask you for some help on a column I'm writing. Get your opinions. Sure. Thinking of writing a column about LeBron James, the great basketball player, and who's being vilified by right. MAGA's really going after him strong. Fox, Hannity, Ben Shapiro, the usual cast of characters, because they say he's a hypocrite because he dares to speak out against police who shoot black people in the United States, but won't speak out against the Chinese regime and its repression. It's interesting because many of the people being repressed in China are Muslim. Mm-hmm. You don't hear a word of
all of a
Trump.
Sudden Republicans care about the Muslims.
Yeah.
Overseas. They want them banned from the United States, but they really care about the ones overseas.
Yeah. They want them to move to China, and then they want to criticize China for repressing Muslims. So, interesting. Ben Shapiro right back at you.
It's like he's a black man. You know what I mean? Like LeBron James is a black man. Of course, you know, I mean, what's wrong with him caring about, you know, the shooting of black men? This is it's an important issue for his community. Let him speak out about it. It's not like Ben Shapiro speaks out about everything. It's like not every single person, when they have a cause or they speak out against certain things, they're not expected to speak out against every single thing that's wrong in this country. So I just think it's crazy. I mean, LeBron James speaking out as a black man against police killings of black and brown people is not really that shocking. I don't even follow LeBron James that much, but I do, whenever he makes the news, I do like hear about his like political stances, and I think it's awesome and it's great. And it's like telling Colin Kaepernick, why do you have to take a knee? It's like, well, he is a black man, and guess why he has to take a knee? You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, it's like that whole thing where like someone told LeBron James to just shut up and dribble. Like, yeah. Let him talk about, that's what the attitude is this week, right? Just shut up and dribble. Like, it's okay for a lot of people in white America to watch a black person play sports, but the minute they open their mouth and talk about discrimination against the historical discrimination against African American people, it's like, oh, just shut up and just do your thing. And it's just terrible. It's terrible.
That was a great riff, and you pretty much wrote my column for me. So I was taking notes, and as I tell many of my guests, I'm going to steal all your ideas and not give you any credit. Everybody's going, damn, he's smart. All right, we'll close with one of my favorite segments. Romana's recommendation. I pick up on a lot of good shows from Romana Hussein. So what are you recommending these days?
So you mentioned Allison True a few minutes
yes.
ago, mm-hmm. your former boss. And yes. I have to recommend the John Wayne Gacy documentary on Peacock. It's you have to actually, like, on my Roku, on my streaming services, I had to get a 7-day trial. So I told Mike, we have to watch it. Usually it takes them really long to watch shows. So I'm like, we got to watch it really quick. So I believe it's like it's a 6-episode series. And it's really, really good. I mean, John Wayne Gacy, it's funny because whenever I go out of town and I ask people who John Wayne Gacy is, especially if they're younger than me, they have no idea who it is. But everybody in Chicago knows who he is. Like, even my younger siblings know who he is. And I was a kid when this happened, but, you know, my younger sister has colleagues at work. She works with she's an investigator for the state, and she works with a couple of people who are much, you know, older than her. And they said that they think they got almost picked up by John Wayne Gacy, where some guy was driving. And, you know, they said in the '70s, like, getting picked up was a normal thing. People hitchhiked all the time. But the John Wayne Gacy story is just incredible. There's parts about it. I thought I knew everything about it, but I really don't. So I think it's a good series. The other thing we started watching is Ken Burns' documentary on Ernest Hemingway. It's a 3-part series, but each part is like 2 hours long. I watched the first part, and it's pretty interesting. Ernest Hemingway is probably a little dated now, but I did like some of his books when I read them in high school. He definitely seemed like a pretty sexist guy, but just watching the documentary on him and who he was, and just like, you know, me being from Chicago, you hear about him being from Oak Park and just his parents and his family. It's pretty interesting. And the entertaining show I'm watching right now, I just started this week. It's just one episode so far on HBO Max, Max. It's called Mayor of Easttown, the new Kate Winslet murder mystery show. I gotta say, it's pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. I haven't watched Kate Winslet. You know, she's not in a period. You know, she's playing a cop in a small town, so it's against type. She's usually in a period costume or something. But I think it's pretty good. I watched it with Mick one episode, and I told him, if you don't want to watch it, I'll watch it by myself. But he liked it. So I think we're going to be watching that. And I don't know if you're going to be doing this weekend, but I admit I am going to be watching the Oscars. I already told Mick.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not watching anything with you on Sunday. Yeah, I'm going to be watching the Oscars. You can do your own thing. So
I watch the Oscars. We watch the Oscars every year. This year, I don't know. I mean, I'm not really in it. By the way, I just want to shout out. We got a Sergio Mims show we did last week where he previews the Oscars and makes his predictions. It was an off year for me with movies, but I'll still watch the Oscars. I told you, I don't even know if they're going to have the red carpet. I even watched the red carpet. I'm going to tell you right now, run, don't walk to see Concrete Cowboy with Idris Elba. It's on Netflix. It's so freaking good. I'm still a little mad at my dear lefty friends for interrupting my viewing of it with their Lori Lightfoot rumors. But I'm getting over it, Lefty. Okay. I'm getting over it. I hope you watch that. We can talk about that at a future show. And you have homework assignment. I'm giving Ramana Hussein a homework assignment because I really want you to watch Tina, the documentary about Tina Turner. It's on HBO. I watched it. I just loved it. I can't, but I'm going to hold back off taking the deep dive until you've watched it. And we'll do a whole segment on it, or at least a portion of a segment after you've watched it. Cause I just think it was so inspirational, the story of Tina Turner. And so I urge you to watch that as well. In fact, I gave you an assignment. You have to watch it. So
okay. I will. And this is to the listeners out there, Ben was asking me if I knew who Tina Turner was. I'm a Gen Xer, so I do. She had a whole comeback in 1984 when I was in junior high, so I definitely know who she was. I know who she is.
Only reason I asked her that, listeners,
you made me
out
feel
there,
young. I'm not young.
Is because I said I saw Tina, and she said who, and I'm like, oh. So I say this all the time. We were taught in journalism not to assume your readers know anything. So it's like anytime I mention anything political, I always have to explain who it is particularly with the reader, the old reader editors, they were like, just thought that they'll take any old rock and roll reference, expect everybody to know it. But if you mention a politician, they just assume that people don't know who it is. So anyway, I've been trained that way, Ramana. So Tina Turner, a singer from the 1960s and 70s, had a comeback in the 80s. Anyway, great. It's awesome. You'll love it, I think. And I look forward to talking to you about it. So anyway, Ramana Hussein, editor, columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times and a regular on our show. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us. Okay. Well,
thank you for having me again.
All right. That's Ramana. I'm Ben. Take care, everybody.